the community. Join our host, Mindy Gould, live at KZHC Studios for Harney County Live right now.
Good morning and welcome, and thanks for tuning in to 92.7 KZHC for Harney County Live. My guest this morning is Burns Police Chief, Chief McCartney. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I see you got your tan on. Hope you're enjoying this lovely, beautiful weather.
I would enjoy about 15, 20 degrees cooler, better, lovely weather, but it's working. Yes.
Well, speaking of the lovely weather and everything, I'm sure you know most of the community has seen, you know, all the road construction, and I know people are frustrated with the road construction and all of that. Have you guys seen quite a bit of, like, movement up of busyness and what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of the road construction kind of being a hard on the community.
It is. I mean, what a wonderful opportunity, because this is largely funded by ODOT. So mm-hmm. we're getting all these, essentially, millions of dollars brought into our community for pedestrian and traffic safety. What a gift that is. I mean, I'm not saying that taxpayers here don't pay for it, but I mean, disproportionately, we're having investment in our community. That is amazing. However, it does bring along with it some things that are difficult. All the workers are generally remote from here, and so they're new to our community, which provides stressors for them and stressors for our community. But people lack patience when there's lots of cones, and we've seen cones disappear. Cones get just run over.
Heard
on purpose.
Cone missings.
Road rage incidents because people are not being courteous. And I would certainly not put the blame on most people from here, because most people from here are relatively courteous, but everybody has their moments, especially when it's 97 degrees outside. And
it's when I take the side roads and bypass all that.
I mean, so what we're getting to is just have a bit of patience. I mean, going slow enough to be safe and to watch ahead. I think that's the biggest thing that causes a lot of these issues, is people drive off their hood ornament and they don't look ahead. Really, you should be looking ahead, you know, even at 25 miles an hour, you're traveling 25, you know, so many feet per second. I mean, if you're looking off your hood before you perceive it, it's too late. And so if you just pick your eyes up and look ahead, you'll avoid so many problems.
Now, have you guys, like, because pedestrians are now walking, you know, because they're doing construction on the sidewalks and everything like that. So a lot of pedestrians have been, or bicyclists, have been moving, you know, into the little designated area. Have you guys had a lot of problems with that as well?
A fair amount. I think because, you know, they're coned off areas or whatever, the pedestrians perceive they can be seen better than they can. It's a difficulty, especially like on Broadway. The bull bouts are coming, so pedestrians are better seen from parking.
I was just gonna ask you about that.
But here's the thing: is they're not seen at all, even where all the cones are, because you're visually so very busy with the workers moving, with all the orange bright stuff that tracks are like. It's like when you go into a store and they got sale and flashing lights, you perseverate on that, right? Well, it happens the same thing when you're driving through construction, is you perseverate on all those bright colors, reflectivity, and you don't necessarily see the other things amongst it. And it, so pedestrians and bicyclists need to be real cautious that they're actually seen by the drivers, but the drivers need to be very careful also.
Now, are you guys hammering down kind of like on the doubling of the tickets and stuff like that? And have you guys actually issued a bunch of tickets, pulling people over for either speeding or careless or stealing cones?
Yeah. We've actually made a tremendous amount of stops, and we will continue to do that. Although every situation is dependent. I wouldn't say that we've had a huge boom in citations. It's not necessary all the time to get somebody's attention. I mean, the time, the conversation is what changes behavior. Of course, some people, based on the behavior itself, is it's so out of such a divert, you know, diverted from normalcy so much that that's it deserves a ticket, right? Mm-hmm. That it shocks, you know, their behavior, their driving behavior shocks the conscience, if you will. That deserves a citation. But a lot of times a conversation will bring people back in. And, you know, with a community like ours, if it doesn't work by a warning, we're sure to see you again. And then we know that, hey, obviously a warning did not work. So giving you another warning for it not to work is probably not a good deal. So it's, you know, I want my officers to use very good discretion, and they have been for the most part. And, but it's up to drivers to change their behavior.
Because that is 100% kind of your motto, and you've said ever since coming into this community, it's about education and not just hammer down, mm-hmm. not be a nice person.
We want voluntary compliance. I mean, honestly, we all have our moments. We all have our days when things are not going right. Like, in fact, from the time you get out of bed, you fall down over the slippers, and that's the best part of your day. So we get it. You get up and the cattle are out. You just have one of those days. We all have them. And that's where the conversation is important. But if it becomes habit, you're habituated to bad driving, well, warnings aren't going to work for that.
Now, you mentioned that the bowl bouts are going to be down Broadway.
Uh-huh.
For those of you that do not know what that is, it means essentially that they're bringing out the corners of the sidewalks where it meets the street, kind of out a little bit. And I know a lot of people have been upset because it's going to be taking up the road and all this, you know, parking and all that. It's actually not really.
No, because you can't park real close to the corners anyways. One of the big things is, and this is not just a Harney County problem, but it's a rural life problem, is that we have a lot of big vehicles. And a lot of big vehicles, height-wise and width-wise, obstruct vision. And so getting the pedestrians out even a few feet safely so they can be viewed better is a good thing. And plus, all the American with Disabilities upgrades at the same time. So it's a win-win.
Definitely. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, talk about code enforcement and a lot of the changes that are taking effect. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
I don't know this number. I'll answer it anyways. Look at how cute that monkey is. No, it's a Prius. Yum. Baked beans. Single ply toilet paper. Just one and we'll all go home. Life is full of bad choices. Don't make choosing the wrong fuel and propane provider one of them. Speak with Ed Staub & Sons today, 573-2622. Ed Staub & Sons, energy, community, service.
Hello, City of Hinds business owners and residents. Current business licenses expire June 30th. Anyone doing business within Hinds city limits, please make sure you have a current business license. Please contact City Hall at 541-573-2251 to renew or apply for a license. Home-based businesses require a business license as well.
You don't have to be a doctor, nurse, or medical professional to work at Harney District Hospital. The hospital employs numerous clerks, assistants, cooks, environmental service workers, and more. In addition to competitive wages, all full and part-time positions offer retirement options, as well as medical, dental, vision, life, and emergency air transportation insurance. Join the hospital team today. Find job listings online at jobs.harneydh.com. That's jobs.harneydh.com.
And now, more Harney County Live on KZHC.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guest this morning is Burns Police Chief, Chief McCartney. Code enforcement. I know this is something that Emerson probably talks about all the time whenever he's on, because it's not that you guys are trying to hammer down on people. You're trying to beautify our community. And there's a lot of codes and stuff like that you guys are starting to implement. And it's not just to be meanie heads or anything like that. There's a reason behind it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a community wellness issue and a community vitality issue. I think if more people looked at it as a health and welfare issue or a community wellness issue, people might look at it differently. Since I've been here, we've taken a very forward approach in trying to gain voluntary compliance, mm-hmm. and working with people and purchasing dumpsters and doing those things and community cleanups. And we'll do another one this fall.
Yes.
Because it's important. We want people to voluntarily comply. However, just like any human nature, there are individuals out there that don't want to comply. And unfortunately, that puts us in a bad position, just like we were talking about with traffic, is that individuals need to be held accountable. And, you know, we've worked with enough people over the last 18 months now that we're figuring out who's willing to work with us and who's not. If you think about it in the community vitality and wellness realm, it makes a lot more sense. I mean, less fire risk, less health risk, less, you know, less mental health problems because of being shut in and you know, I just really think that, you know, you tend to take on your environment, either as an individual or a community. If you live in a horrible environment, you tend to not have the same self-esteem. You don't seem to be as happy. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't seem to care for yourself as much. I mean, and that is community-wide too, is, you know, if a community wellness is growing, it's giving, it's like when you see all your neighbors around you in trash and squalor, well, what do you care about your place? But the opposite is true also. If everything around you is nice and there's peer pressure, community pressure to do things. And really we're at that point where we need to start being more enforcement based. That doesn't mean that we will not give you opportunities or work with you. And in fact, in most court cases that we've had so far, we've obviously, even after being found guilty for code violations, we've offered an out and say, hey, just correct it within a period of time and we'll walk away from that conviction, because what we want is for things to be made right. But there are those individuals. So we are looking at, and Wednesday night, we will have a community hearing on chronic nuisance properties. And that is a ordinance that basically says that based on continued criminal or ordinance violations, that your property needs extra attention. And as long as it stays a nuisance property, you'll be subject to fines, monthly fines, stepping up from $300 to $600 to $1,200 a month. And the point is that you need to understand that we want to work with you. Nobody ever has to get there. We don't want you to ever be there. However, if that's what it's going to take for you to start paying attention, sadly, that's what we'll have to do.
Now, I mean, you bill these people. You know, what's saying that they don't pay?
Well, basically, courts can garnish their wages or they can put a lien on their property.
Now, what types of things are you looking for? Are you talking about like abandoned properties? Are you talking about ones that have got like, you know, 6 feet of overgrown bushes? Are you talking garbage?
Yeah, we're talking the whole gamut. Overgrown brush is one thing, but having 15 derelict vehicles, junk vehicles, having junk everywhere, hazardous things like attractive nuisances, like having cars that are raised on blocks where any child that goes around it could get crushed if they hit it. I mean, there's lots of things out here. We do have a fair amount of derelict residences where people have just literally abandoned them and we have squatters in them. That is not good for any neighborhood. It's not good for this community.
Now, how are you guys handling that and taking care of that? Because it's quite the process. I mean, essentially, you really can't even get the squatters out.
Right. Well, what we do is we become aware of the code violations. We get a hold of the owners, let them know. That's how they generally discover. Well, what we've been doing is trying to work with them. They need to basically evict those individuals and start abating the nuisances there. Well, that hasn't happened. So we're actually going to start citing people and we're going to force them to deal with it, because them not dealing with it is not assisting our community with the issues that we have.
So. Now, have you had pretty good luck so far with some of the vacant properties and the squatters, or just at least bringing attention to the owners that may not live locally in regards to the condition of their property?
It's been a mixed bag. Some, just like I said, with like the rest of the community, voluntarily going, oh dear, I did not realize. And they start taking proactive steps in dealing with it. And again, we'll walk with them every step of the way in trying to deal with it and be partners, mm-hmm. whether it be helping them find individuals if they're remote to help deal with it, whether it be purchasing trash containers, mm-hmm. dumpsters, whatever. We'll work with them because honestly, that's better for them and it's cheaper for the city. Mm-hmm. It's being responsible with tax dollars. However, if we need to abate it, some of the properties in this city, if we chose to abate them, it would cost the city or the taxpayers $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to abate them based on the issues there. And that's why, you know, voluntary compliance is so much better because we help them deal with the problem, increases the value of their property, it gives the usefulness of their property back, and it helps all the neighbors with the values of their property and the you know, but.
But, and it's also taking time away for you guys, I mean, for you to have to be dealing with all this stuff instead of working on other properties or other things.
I don't think people realize or citizens realize how difficult this is. We don't have a depth of service providers for, like, you know, in some communities. So a lot of these service providers that we use for abatement, they have to come from out of the area, which increases the cost exponentially because mm-hmm. of mileage and everything else. And so getting voluntary compliance or having a community-based solution on this is really where we need to be. However, again, people have freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find it hard? Because, I mean, honestly, the code ordinances have not been really enforced for years and years, I mean, probably decades. Mm-hmm. And now you guys are coming in, you and Emerson are coming in and starting to enforce this stuff. Do you find a lot of kickback? Well, I've never had to do it before type thing.
There is some of that because, you know, things become cultural. I mean, that's a weird way to say it. Like drug use in Oregon has become cultural to some extent. Mm-hmm. So you have to do some things to change culture. And sometimes that takes a shock to the collective conscience to do it. But we've also started to update all the codes because a lot mm-hmm. of the codes were never kept up with. So again, we're having work sessions like once a month now to update ordinances. We're looking at animal ones, chronic nuisance, and vehicle codes right mm-hmm. now to redo them. And that way we can have tools to deal with it. Again, the greatest tool ever is voluntary. When we go, hey, there's a problem, they're like, not a problem, I'll work with you to make it right. How do I do this? That is the easiest solution to everything, honestly.
Do you think maybe people might be just a little bit intimidated? Oh my gosh, I have this notice. I'm scared to call. You know, the whole intimidation aspect of it.
I think there is some of that, but the best thing that they can do is call and say, hey, what can I do to work with this? This is not a two-day or two-week mm-hmm. problem. This is a multi-month problem. And we're like, great, let's start on that multi-month process. Yeah. We're good with that as long as we're showing progress along the way. You don't have to worry about us coming after you. If you go like, well, I'm not doing it, you can't make me, that's a different scenario than, hey, it's going to take me some time.
Wonderful, gotcha. Well, we need to take another quick break. And when we come back, talk about your current police officers, your staffing, how's that going, and your open positions. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Howdy, City of Hines residents. Did you know the City of Hines has an RV ordinance? Yes, we do. That ordinance requires anyone staying on your property in an RV to obtain a permit through City Hall. These permits are $15 and are good for 14 days in any 30-day period. Violators will be ticketed and the RV possibly towed. So come on down and get an RV permit for your friends to stay at your house.
In addition to top-notch services and technology, Harney District Hospital boasts highly trained, licensed medical professionals who are ready to care for you in a friendly, comfortable environment. At Harney District Hospital, you aren't just a number, you are a neighbor receiving quality care from your neighbors. Learn more about the hospital online at harneydh.com. That's harneydh.com. Thank you for choosing Harney District Hospital as your healthcare partner.
Nope, nope, I got it right here. Directions on my phone.
Recalculating.
Wait, which turn?
Recalculating. Proceed to route. Recalculating.
Which way? Here we go. Oh, look at this place.
You have reached your destination for great prices, friendly service, and quality product.
Well, we're here at 429 Crane Boulevard. It's Ed Stobbinson's. This place is great. Ed Stobbinson's. Energy, community, service.
And now, more Harney County Live on KZHC. Here's Mindy Gould.
So it doesn't shock you anymore.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guest this morning is Burns Police Chief Steve McCartney, and we're talking about all the things that are just happening in the community, from the road construction to the law enforcement or code enforcement, updating the code enforcements and the reasonings behind it. You guys, Burns Police, for quite a while only had two officers, you and Officer Beers. Mm-hmm. And now you have Officer Hatley, who I had on a few weeks ago. How is everything going? I mean, I know you're still shorthanded.
It's going good. It's going better than it was. And the reason is well, you know, Officer Hatley is back in the community, which mm-hmm. helps greatly. We have some hiring prospects out there. We had one that just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I count that as a blessing when things don't work out.
They work out for a reason.
Because they work out, or they work out for a reason. I've got another person in process right now that I'm hopeful. We'll see how that turns out. But regardless of whether I hire this individual that's going through the process now, we still right now have one additional position open. I've got a couple of other applicants, but always looking for applicants. And then hopefully October, we will have the opportunity to hire two additional. So at this point, anybody that's interested in it, and I think people get misnomer that you have to have some experience before.
I was just going to ask you about that.
That's not it. I mean, life experience is life experience. You know, law enforcement, besides being, you know, holding people accountable for their behavior, that's only a small portion of this profession. Customer service and communicating with people. So sales, prior, you know, sales or customer service experience, that's really good for law enforcement. There, you don't have to have a master's degree or a bachelor's degree or even associates. You just have to be able to, you know, be able to articulate yourself and communicate and have a desire to serve the community, honestly. And, you know, so people think, oh, well, I'm too old to do this. That's not true. I mean, I'm pretty old, and I still do it. But the point is I Officer Hatley started his career in his 40s. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean,
yeah, he said on there, he's a year younger than I am.
Right. And Officer Beers started when he was 21. So there's a place for everybody. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and especially in the world today, it's not unusual for a person to have two or three different careers. Mm-hmm. And because you're in different stages in your life, you have different desires, different wants, different goals. And so, you know, even if you think, oh, well, I may be too old, you're probably not if you have that bug and you want to serve the community. So
you're looking at the community has never had that many officers I can't say never, but they haven't had that many officers in umpteen years. Yeah. What is your reasoning for that many officers?
My hope, well, number one is I would say that many officers provides a balance of workload, number one, provides more time in the community to actual problem solving instead of being reactive to things.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is that the Burns Paiute Nation and the city of Burns will be entering a partnership later this year. And my hope is that as they are already part of our community, different nation, but part mm-hmm. of our community, and that they deserve a level of service that currently they're not getting. And so we'll see if that happens. If it happens, then we'll be able to hire a couple additional individuals. I'm very excited. I'm optimistic about it. And what a great challenge to have is to develop relationships with people.
Now, with you being here, you've been here a year and a half.
January 23. So,
year and a half. How are things going with you? With you being so new to the community still and, you know, and people understanding you and how you work?
Well, I think there's a little bit of familiarity that's come around now, and hopefully a little bit of trust from being an outsider. But this community's always been very welcoming. Honestly, it's never been like I've not felt welcome here. So, but there, anytime you change and go through that much change, there's a lot of like, wow, what is this? What is going to come out of it? Is it going to be like before? Is it going to be like something new? Is a person going to stay? I think that's the biggest thing that I assume that people just thought I was going to leave. And that's not my goal. I want to be here. We have property here. Mm-hmm. We have a farm. We want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want the community served properly. And what that looks like is always developing because the needs of the community change. If we are able to effectively deal with the code enforcement issue, there will be another issue that needs to come up. We got issues coming up with recriminalization of drugs that mm-hmm. we're going to have to adjust to. The one thing about serving a community is there's always change, whether wanted it or not, it's coming. Whether it's legal decisions, whether it's community needs, whether it's being community desires, there's always change.
Now, doesn't that make your position, your job, your career more difficult because it's always changing, especially the legality, like the recriminalization of drugs or the, you know, something small as the code law, you know, the code enforcement and stuff like that.
Or case law can change even with, you know, federal rulings regarding how many people the state hospital can take and mm-hmm. how they take them and everything like that. It can have dramatic effects on a community. But it's also the thing that keeps it interesting and a challenge. Mm-hmm. If it was not for that, it would be like everybody could do it. Mm-hmm. And not everybody can be a police officer. Not everybody can be a mm-hmm. police administrator. And quite frankly, there's lots of people that wouldn't even want to. And, you know, but the point is there's always opportunities. Every day there's an opportunity, and that's the way I look at it. Every contact with somebody, every arrest with somebody is an opportunity point and for the community and for the individual. So that's my hope, is that the community views it like that, is like all these challenges, they are opportunities for amazing things to occur. I mean, the code enforcement issues, it's an opportunity for amazing things to come in this community. It's amazing business opportunities here, amazing community engagement opportunities.
Yeah.
Opportunities is that's what a lot of people focus problems. They're not problems. They're opportunities for solutions.
Opportunities for improvement.
Yes, absolutely. I believe that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, positive thinking. Yeah. Positive thinking. Well, we are completely out of time. So thank you so much for coming on and just updating everything about the community and everything that's going on. And look forward to chatting with you again.
Thank you and have an amazing, safe summer.
You too. And thanks for listening to Harney County Live. Have a fantastic day, and I'll chat with you guys tomorrow.
That's another edition of Harney County Live, every weekday morning on 92.7 KZHZ.
You don't have to be a doctor, nurse, or medical professional to work at Harney District Hospital. The hospital employs numerous clerks, assistants, cooks, environmental service workers, and more. In addition to competitive wages, all full and part-time positions offer retirement options, as well as medical, dental, vision, life, and emergency air transportation insurance. Join the hospital team today. Find job listings online at jobs.harneydh.com. That's jobs.harneydh.com.
Paying your fuel bill sucks. I get it. Energy and transportation needs are expensive. But you know, there are worse things, like digging a hole by hand, digging an even bigger hole, digging a bigger hole, and hitting the sewer line. Well, at Ed Staub & Sons, we hope to minimize the pain. We realize how much of a family's budget must be spent on their energy necessities. Give us a call at 573-2622 and ask about products and services to save you money. Ed Staub & Sons, energy, community, service.
Hello, Heinz residents. Livestock permits are required. The city requires a permit to be allowed to maintain livestock, 4-H animals, poultry, fowl, or bees. These permits are free and need to be approved by the city council. Please pick up your packet at City Hall. Chickens are allowed with an approved permit, allowing for no more than 6 adults and no roosters, no more than 2 fowl other than chickens, and no more than 2 livestock under 9 months of age. Thank you.